As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hi, I'm Alex Abnos from The Athletic. All of the big games of the day are done. Let's look ahead to the next games to take center stage in front of the world. This is World Cup Every Day. The headline game of the next day of action features a Uruguay side which is hoping to get a new era fully underway with a World Cup win. They'll face Portugal, which barely escaped with a 3-2 win against Ghana in probably the wildest game of the first round. Felipe Cardenas joins the show today to tell us what to expect from Uruguay in this game and what kind of challenge they'll face from Cristiano Ronaldo and company. Monday, we'll also see Brazil make their second appearance in this World Cup, but Neymar will not be in for that one after sustaining an ankle injury in the opening game against Serbia. Keep an eye out on his injury status moving forward. Before we get to Felipe, here's the TV guide for today. All times are Eastern. Cameroon and Serbia get us started at 5 a.m. Eastern on Fox Sports 1. Then South Korea versus Ghana, that will be at 8 a.m. on Fox Sports 1. And then Brazil versus Switzerland at 11 a.m. Eastern on Fox Broadcast Network. And finally, the game I mentioned before, Portugal versus Uruguay, that will be at 2 p.m. Eastern on Fox Broadcast Network. All of these games are also available in Spanish on Telemundo and in Canada on TSN. Let's send it over to my chat with Felipe Cardenas. Back with me for the first time in what feels like forever. It's probably only been a couple days. Time moves very strangely here in Qatar. I have Felipe Cardenas. Felipe, you wrote a story in the last round of games before Uruguay's first World Cup match against South Korea. It turned out to be one of an increasingly large number of nil-nil draws in this World Cup. So a little bit of a disappointment if you were looking for Uruguay to make some sort of a statement, or if you were looking for South Korea to make a very, very big statement. But you have written about Uruguay and sort of the state of that team. What did you see in that nil-nil draw? Do you think that we'll see any changes in their next game against a much tougher opponent, I think it's fair to say, in Portugal?
Yeah, I saw a classic Uruguay performance, to be honest with you. I know it was nil-nil, and perhaps the casual fan was not impressed. But in person, it was a very intense match. Korea really did dominate the first half. The game played sort of to their script. It was very fast. They had the ball. They were creating the 1v1s. They created chaos. Now, the problem with that is that, and I wrote that in the story, is that Uruguay can sort of, they can thrive in chaos. Yeah. They're very structured when they want to be. But if the game gets away from them and they realize they're scrambling, sometimes that's the best side of Uruguay. You see that the warrior mentality, right? And so that was what we saw in the first half. And remember, this is a new era for Uruguay. It's Diego Alonso's start. Never been an international coach. Was fired by Inter Miami before he was appointed to this job. It's crazy.
Pretty amazing, yeah. Okay. To get fired from an MLS job and then go straight from that to managing a World Cup level national team in South America.
They were on their deathbed in World Cup qualifying. Oscar Tabatas, who was the Uruguay coach for 15 years, Couldn't get it done. They lost four games in a row, including drubbings to Argentina and Brazil, a loss to Bolivia as well. Okay, like bad. It was bad. They were close to the bottom of the table. And so they fired Tavares, which was a big deal. And they hired Diego Alonso, he was not the favorite. Okay. And he took them back up. They qualified third in South America. And I think they're still relying on a lot of the players that Tavares relied on. You still see Godin and Jose Maria Jimenez. Luis Suarez is still on the team. Muslera is not the goalkeeper anymore, surprisingly, you know, but like there's still that core group of veteran players. And then Alonso has brought on some younger players like Facundo Torres from Orlando City that made the squad. Facundo Pelestri, the Manchester United player that hasn't played for Manchester United, but he started against Korea. Some young players, fast players. And so that's sort of where he's going. They want to press a little bit more in wide areas. And I think, again, there's still a team that can trouble any team in this tournament. They're a team that no one wants to play because that's the game you're going to get, the game that we saw against Korea. And then they have these difference makers like Federico Valverde from Real Madrid and Rodrigo Betancourt, who is just one of the classiest central midfielders at this tournament. So mm-hmm. when they want, they can flip the game towards, you know, in their advantage. And that's what they did in the second half. They were unlucky to win, to draw that game. They hit the post twice. And at the end of that game, the Korean players, several of them just dropped to their knees and some of them fell over in exhaustion. And you know what were the Uruguay players doing? They were arguing with the referee. They wanted to keep playing.
So this sort of hints at my next question, which is that I think Uruguay is one of those countries that everybody acknowledges over and over and over and over again every time they show up in a World Cup lately. This is a small country. It's, mm-hmm. You know, the population is not huge. Yet, they produce these very, very excellent players. They, especially lately, they've had very, very good national teams. They've had very, very good World Cup performances. This is a new era, but they do have young talent coming through. How have they been able to sustain this? Like a country as big as, say, the United States is mm-hmm. looking at them and thinking, like, what's going on? Like, obviously, there's a difference in footballing cultures, obviously.
Right.
But what is it in their footballing culture that allows them to punch it above their weight, and purely in terms of population, in terms of when it comes to producing players like Suarez and Pulisic and all these guys that you mentioned?
I think from an elementary perspective, it's like it's the only sport they care about. Yeah, they probably play polo and there are other sports, but it's just the only sport they care about. It is really ingrained in the culture. That's where it starts. Like you mentioned, the United States or any bigger country, there's a lot more competition.
But that's the case with a lot of countries, though. I mean, a lot of countries
like Brazil.
Like, well, sure, but like also small countries. Like, let's say Bolivia, for example. Mm. Like, Bolivians love football as well. Am I wrong about that?
You're not wrong. Okay. You're not wrong, but it's not... I don't think the level of... I think commitment to sport mm-hmm. is the same in Bolivia as it is to Uruguay. Uruguay, I think it's like, to your point about, like, being a smaller country, it's like, that's what they have. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they know that they can do well. You know, maybe economically they do suffer. Agriculturally, you know, they struggle as well and they need to rely on their neighbors and all that. But they know that, like, when it comes to sport and when it comes to football in general, like, they can compete. And in the story, I spoke with Diego Forlan and Sebastian Abreu, nicknamed El Loco. I spoke to them at a hotel here in Doha and I brought that up. I framed the same exact question that you framed to me.
Yeah.
And they just, again, it's just, they just kept coming back to the word competitiveness. Like, we just love to compete. Like, that's what we do. People talk us down. They talk down to us. They minimize us. And in order for us to compete against Brazil and Argentina, they mentioned those countries several times.
It's almost like they're neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. They would say, like, maybe we don't have as much as them, but what we do have is enough and we can compete. And there are a lot of cliches, you know, it's 11v11 once we get on the pitch. But again, they sell out in every game and they make it difficult for opponents to beat them. And again, that is what you're getting. In South America, everyone knows when we play Uruguay, it's going to be a battle. Now, Forlan and Abreu both told me, like, that there's a stereotype about, like, oh, Uruguayan is they're only we're just aggressive players, and all we want to do is fight and battle. And he said that their competitiveness has taken a negative spin, and not because it's something they did,
yeah.
But they feel that that's been the narrative, and they don't believe that's the case. They just are fiery competitors, and if you talk down to them, you're going to get their best. Remember 2010? That team could have been in the final.
That's right.
They could have been in the final. When I brought that up to them, Forlán was still pretty devastated about it. And Abreu too. Abreu was on that side. Mm-hmm. And that's what they say. Again, a lot of cliches, but they're like, the reason why we made it to the semifinals is because A, everyone knew that Diego Forlán was a star. And even me, Abreu, who was competing for the number 9 position, he was like, okay, fine. He's the star. He's going to score the goals. And they had a bunch of good players, and everyone, you know, played their role, quote unquote, right?
Sure.
But again, that's the collective when it comes to Uruguay.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
I feel the need to point out at this point regarding past Uruguay World Cup performance that Luis Suarez's handball against Ghana,
yeah,
one of the best plays in World Cup history. Anybody that says that's a dirty play or bad or whatever, I'm sorry, you just don't know what you're talking about. He got the red card, which was appropriate.
Exactly.
I think I missed the penalty. It worked out perfectly fine. I'm all right with it.
And
sorry
so,
to any Ghana fans out there.
Exactly. And Ghana fans have not gotten over it. And
yeah.
And when I brought that up to Diego Forlán and Sebastián Abreu, I was like, hey, you know, Uruguay and Ghana, again, a rematch. I use the word rematch, and they just both like scoff, like, not for us.
Yeah.
So it's a rematch for them. And Luis Suarez being a villain, they thought was ridiculous because they said he was punished. He missed the next game. And then they were given a penalty, and they missed the penalty.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were just laughing at the notion that was, to your point, like an unfair play. It was like, that's football.
So, specifically with this game against Portugal, are you worried about anything that Portugal can throw at them? Namely, Cristiano Ronaldo?
Yeah, and I think speed. You know, we've seen Portugal... you know, that the game against Ghana showed a lot of weaknesses as well.
Mm-hmm.
Portugal, like they are very leaky at the back. They just don't seem to be together, you know. Like, you know, I don't mean to, you know, like create drama, but there's a lot of drama around that team.
They're creating their own drama.
They're creating their own drama, and they don't seem focused. Like, it's just not everyone. Some people had them as favorites, and I still think they could be favorites, but I don't see them putting together these 90-minute performances. But they just have so many weapons, and Cristiano is still a player that can, you know, be decisive if he wants to be. Am I concerned about Uruguay when I... No, I think my concern, and you mentioned to this before we started recording, I think we will see changes from the Uruguay side. And it'll be a tough one for Alonso, but I don't think he can start Luis Suarez again. He started Suarez against Korea. He started him along as the number 9 with Darwin Núñez as one of the wingers and Palestri as the other winger. And Núñez ran... for his life the entire game. Like, it was a tireless effort. The problem is he missed a sitter.
Yeah.
And if you're a Liverpool fan, you're probably rolling your eyes and saying, what's up with
Here
this guy?
Yeah.
He's not a finisher. So that's why he's not starting at the 9. But I believe, and I've spoken to other journalists that watched that game, like, you know, Alonso should probably start Cavani. Cavani looked pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, he was, you know, very, he was tracking back, running hard, got in dangerous positions. And Luis Suarez just like looked like he couldn't do much, but he is a finisher, so that's the conundrum. But I do think it may work out in Uruguay's favor if you start Cavani first and then perhaps bring on Luis Suarez when the game is a little bit more under control.
Felipe, obviously Portugal-Uruguay will be an exciting game on this day, but there are three others. I'm curious if any of these other ones strike your fancy just when I first mentioned them to you. We have Cameroon versus Serbia, South Korea versus Ghana, and Brazil versus Switzerland. Which of those three are you looking forward to?
Obviously, Brazil-Switzerland has been billed as a big game. It's still a big game because Brazil's playing.
Because Brazil.
Yeah. You know, but I think after what we saw against Serbia, I don't expect Switzerland to come out and attack Brazil. So yeah. I think that game is going to be controlled. What were the other ones?
South Korea, Ghana.
Okay, I like that one.
Yeah.
You know, that could be sort of a full tilt game.
Yeah.
And both teams are going to be in desperate need of points. Korea is thinking, hey, we have a point. A win puts us in a really good position. And they're a good team. Like, I like Korea. Like, they just need to get in front of their opponent. I think if they don't score, you know, they struggle a little bit. Ghana, an exciting team, one of the youngest teams in the World Cup.
The youngest team. They stole it out from the Americans at the last.
Whose fall is that?
Yeah.
Tim Ream. Sorry, Tim Ream.
I'm perfectly okay with.
Yeah, Tim he's Ream been very good. World Cup. Been very
anyway,
good.
Anyway, Felipe, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to our wonderful producer, Mike Zimmerman, for putting this and all of our shows on this feed together. I'm Alex Abnos from Doha. Enjoy all the games, and we'll see you tomorrow.